Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, April 7th. What's up with us? From the slap, and you know which one I mean, to the freakouts on airplanes and Marjorie Taylor Greene's and Lauren Boebert's outburst during the State of the Union address, even just that they were there having been elected to Congress maybe, we seem to be embracing rudeness and more often crossing a line into outright violence. Everyone is acting so weird. As Olga Khazan puts it in the first sentence of her recent essay in The Atlantic, her beat for The Atlantic is science and health, and she knows a thing or two about weird. It's the title of her first book that's just out in paperback. She's here to share some theories about what's going on with us meaning our society as a whole. And we want to hear your theories and your stories. Are you finding yourself behaving worse? Are you seeing it in others? Why do you think that is? And for our older listeners, do you remember ever going through a similarly crazy time as a society, and how did that end? Or is this unprecedented in your experience? As we welcome back to the show, Olga Khazan from The Atlantic. Hi, Olga. Thanks for coming on today.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
And really interesting article, very thought-provoking. And I threw the politics in there, but when you wrote everyone is acting so weird, what egregiously antisocial behaviors did you mostly have in mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, so the slap was kind of, at the Oscars, was obviously kind of the most, the thing that everyone was talking about. But, you know, you basically can't open social media these days without seeing another viral video of, you know, someone screaming at a flight attendant or a gate agent about a mask or, you know, some other reason. There were even some viral videos of people freaking out at ski resorts. And on top of that, actually kind of more serious incidents. Like violent crime is on the rise, in particular the murder rate. Just anecdotally, I'm hearing from a lot of people that kind of disruptive behavior in classrooms and in healthcare settings is also up. So I kind of just got the sense that everyone is kind of freaking out.
I mentioned your book, whose full title is Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World. And I guess weird in that context is more strange and out of step, not really the kind of mean, rude, raised by wolves, which is probably unfair to wolves, type of behaviors that we're seeing, right?
Yeah, so my book is about social norms. So it is a little bit, so my book is about how being weird is a good thing, but these people are behaving weird in a bad way. But the similarity is social norms, and how I think social norms have really just changed in recent months, and somehow people got the idea that all bets are off and the rules don't apply.
Let's start unpacking some of what the experts you consulted suggested might be behind this, the pandemic, and why. And there are many strands to follow there, starting, I guess, with masks and just the physical effect of not seeing all of someone's face.
Yeah, and I don't want to overstate things here. Like, I am not an anti-masker. I've worn a mask, you know, the entire past 2 years. But, you know, there are some drawbacks to not being able to see someone's face. You know, just like, you know, a lot of people who are on social media know that it's, you know, much easier to yell at someone, you know, if you're just seeing a picture of them on Facebook, or if you, you know, are just texting with them or whatever else. You know, it's a lot easier to kind of express rage at someone when you're not seeing their full face. So one thing that one of the experts that I spoke with suggested is that you're not really seeing someone's full humanity. You're kind of only seeing their eyes. You might not be seeing how exactly your actions are affecting them. So that might be part of why people are kind of behaving in this kind of very antisocial way.
And then the fact that someone isn't going to let you on the plane or in a store without one, that can be provoking.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, again, not defending people who are easily provoked by mask mandates, but as one of the psychiatrists, Keith Humphreys, put it to me, the pandemic has created a lot of high stress, low reward situations. So there's just a lot of things that were already stressful, like getting on a flight, you know, and boarding a plane and putting your thing up on the, you know, carry on area and everything. But now it's even more stressful. stressful because you have to remember your mask. And if you're flying internationally, you might have to get, tested for COVID. So people just have all of these extra stressors on them that are kind of pushing them a little bit closer to their breaking point.
High stress, low reward. So we pay a huge cost in upending our lives just to not get sick, not to end up better than before.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of the ways that we would relieve stress or that we still do relieve stress is by, you know, hanging out with friends or taking vacations or, you know, going out to eat. But all of those things are harder now. Like you're going to, you know, encounter that someone in your, you know, maybe in your friend circle wants to eat outside. So you have to find a place with outdoor dining. And if it's raining, do you have to find a new restaurant? You know, there's just all these extra hoops to jump through. So I feel like a lot of people are just like teetering a little bit closer to the edge than they were before.
Yeah, listeners are definitely reacting to this. Our lines are full. People are tweeting. One word that a listener tweets is pressed. Listener writes, I've noticed people have been pressed. I attribute it to folks being locked up in COVID for 2 years and warming temps because of climate change, shortening fuses and simmering tempers. And then you write that one word that kind of describes this behavior is antisocial, which brings up another pandemic effect, our being untethered, another word that you use, untethered to the social order by lockdowns, not going to school, to the office, to the church, synagogue, mosque, mass transit. You quote Harvard sociologist Robert Sampson as saying, when we become untethered, we tend to prioritize our own private interests over those of others or the public. And that makes us ruder, you think?
Yeah, I mean, so this is, so Robert Sampson has studied sort of why some neighborhoods are, you know, thriving and functional and why some have, high crime rates. And so this is sort of speculation on his part, but he sort of thinks that when people are kind of off on their own, you know, they're not interacting with anyone else, they tend to kind of mostly think about themselves and what's in it for them and how do they maximize their own well-being. And I think that's true. Like, I think that, if you're not seeing anyone, if you're not out and about, if you're kind of holed up in your house, you do kind of start to get an us versus, you know, me versus them mentality. And so, you know, suddenly when you go to the airport, you're not thinking about how can I make this flight just smooth for everyone. You're thinking about, well, I don't want to wear a mask, so I'm not going to. I could see how that would happen.
Kevin in Bridgeport is, I think, calling to respond to the part of my caller invitation where I said, if you've lived for a while and you think you may have seen a time like this before, give us a call and compare or tell us how it ended. So, Kevin, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling from Bridgeport today.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, I'm 61, and so I just remember in the late 60s and early 70s, being young, it was a scary time. There was a lot of upheaval, the draft, and I didn't know if the draft was going to continue, if the war was going to continue. I had friends, you know, being drafted, and older friends, obviously brothers and stuff like that of friends. And then pollution and drugs, and it just seemed like it was a great time for music and stuff, and I'm a musician, but I just was like, man, I don't know. There was some scary moments. I was talking to my stepdaughter about those times and saying that, because she was getting, kind of freaked out in the beginning of the pandemic and everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. And I just, but we made it through, you know, we got to the other side of it. This time does feel a little different. In terms of, I mean, I certainly didn't live through a pandemic before, so it's different in that regard. But I also noticed the tenor, there are people that just, I think it's probably been happening, as you were just saying, this has been building for a while. I don't think it just got like a light switch got switched on because of the masks, but, and maybe it's probably a little bit of everything, social media and the things that people are finding that divide us more than what we have in commonality. But I was telling the screener, like, I noticed that for a long time now, people all of a sudden, they're like driving through red lights. They're going left on red lights. It's like, it doesn't matter. Just, they, you know, it also being driving down the highway, and seeing somebody on a motorcycle with a shirt on that said "Embrace Violence." I was talking to somebody on the phone. I'm like, oh my God, like, really? I can't believe that. And in 2016, being in like a Trader Joe's, and this very tall, strong, healthy looking guy with fatigues on had a shirt that said "F Obama," but the whole word, just proudly. And I'm like, man, so, you know, there's something that's been, some kind of tension that's been going on. And I think that the boxing news, I don't know, just, I don't want to blame anybody in particular, but I just think it's been pushing what divides us more than what unites us. And I assume that isolation and not being around other people in an office setting or just in a...
Kevin, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. You thinking anything, Olga, as somebody who I think is younger than the caller, maybe a different generation than the caller? Does he spark anything in you?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting that he brought up the late 60s, because I wrote another article about this, which is that this period of time is like very similar to the late 60s. And I do think that for whatever reason, we're seeing almost like an echo of that period. I wrote this article where I interviewed a former member of the Weather Underground, which was like this... I mean, basically, like terrorist group that was sort of wantonly bombing things for people who don't know in the late 60s. So they took credit for 25 bombings, including at the Capitol and at the Pentagon. And yeah, it was sort of also just driven by this kind of like ambient rage at kind of what was going on in society at the time. So I do think that it's very similar to that period of time. And it did, you know, eventually, you know, that was like an unusually violent and chaotic time. But, you know, then things kind of settled down and we saw like a very, you know, before the pandemic, things were kind of pretty chill and you know, not very violent. So I don't know. I'm not totally sure what accounts for certain periods in history being more kind of chaotic and others less so.
My guest, if you're just joining us, is Olga Kazan from The Atlantic. She usually writes about healthcare. Her latest essay in The Atlantic is called "Why People Are Acting So Weird," and her book, just out in paperback, is also called Weird. Wait, I'm looking for your book title. It's called Weird, and I don't have the rest of the title with me. You could say it.
The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World.
Oh, right. That's a good part of Weird. Right. You said that at the beginning. But what the caller raises, Kevin in Bridgeport, actually what you brought up about the 60s, bringing up the Weathermen group, that violence was political. I think what we're seeing with the crazy driving that Kevin brought up, with individual acts of violence, like, I don't know that everybody figures out so easily, why is the murder rate, why is the shootings rate up in the pandemic, right? Like, what's really the relationship between the isolation, the sickness, the stress, the loss? You know, if it was as easy as saying a lot of people lost their jobs during the pandemic and these were all holdups at stores to get stuff, it would be more straightforward. But the relationship between driving crazy or shooting people more than before the pandemic, I have trouble connecting the dots.
Yeah, so I have two more data points for you that might clarify those two in particular. So gun sales spiked in 2020 and in 2021. Something that I learned that was interesting was that in 2020, police started recovering more firearms within a year of purchase, which is, it's called a time to crime window. So essentially people were buying guns in 2020 and then almost immediately using them in crimes. So you had this huge spike in gun purchases. And I mean, guns don't make you go out and commit crimes, but if you're, you know, if you have a gun, you are more likely to be successful if you try to murder someone. So that could explain the murder rate. And the other thing I want to point out is that drinking has gone way up during the pandemic. So alcohol deaths are up, and then people are also drinking more days per month than they were before. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these car accidents and things, and even some of the unruly passenger incidents might just be people being drunk behind the wheel or when they get to the airport.
Let's hear what a Buddhist nun thinks. Maybe she's got the response to stress that we all need to hear. Mary, who identifies herself as a Buddhist nun, is calling from Morris County. Hi, Mary. You're on WNYC.
Well, hello, Brian. How are you? I've been listening to you. You've helped a lot of people through the pandemic. I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
So I came over here in 65, and I went through the riots and everything that happened in America. And I understand what you were talking about, the political issues that were going on and the frustration that people were feeling due to the war. But it's very, very, very different today. Very, very, very different. People are feeling intense fear. And I think between the situation that we're hearing, that we know is there with global warming, all of the effects of the pandemic, and having no personal resources. Very few people know that they can go within and do breathing meditation, simple breathing meditation, to change their chemistry, to change their mind. And in the end, that's all we have, is to develop a calm and peaceful mind. And because those techniques, as simple as they sound, are not available, they're not being promoted very often, to be a source that we can go to. Especially, for instance, if you have rage while you're driving, you know, learning how to breathe through the rage that trips you while you're driving, learning how to pause before you yell at someone, taking three breaths before we make a phone call, taking three breaths before we recognize anything that's disturbing our mind, because the thing we need to protect the most is the quality of our mind. And all of us want to be happy. All of us want to be free from suffering. Nobody wants to be this way. Even the people that are committing the crimes, even the people who are drunk in airports, all of those people, nobody wants to be like this. It's just an expression of their pain. And I think that if we're looking at the other and saying this person's wrong or that person's wrong or whatever, we're missing the boat. People are in pain and they're full of fear and they don't have the tools to work with to calm their mind down and to know that they can find inner peace if they want to.
Mary, thank you so much for your call. Call us again.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Olga, you're thinking about anything listening to Mary?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was better at meditating. I agree that meditating could help the world, but I'm really awful at it. I really have a hard time doing it, and I've tried and tried. I still can like make myself do it sometimes, but I also hold my breath a lot. I don't know if that's an issue for other people, but I agree that if we breathed and didn't scream at each other, it would probably be a better world.
Hold your breath. I think the breathing technique would be to make sure you fully exhale
before you take
that next breath. Before you go, on a very serious note, I wondered if you want to talk about the weirdness that you must be experiencing now as a Russian immigrant who grew up in West Texas, I'll add. The kind of atrocities that Russia is being accused of in Ukraine are obviously beyond what we've been discussing here. We've touched certainly on gun violence and things like that, but the level of atrocity that we're seeing in Ukraine is in its own individual category and certainly nothing to be laughed off as. People are acting weird, like some of the conversation we've been having, so I just may want to put a bracket around that. But if anything demonstrates for us once again the terrible cost of unleashing that level of violence and mayhem, it's what we're seeing on television emerge, even as the Russian troops withdraw from some of the places that they had occupied. What's this like for you as a Russian immigrant?
I mean, it's horrifying. I really honestly never identified strongly as, I mean, I obviously am Russian. It's not really a matter of identifying or not, but I never really felt like a strong kinship with Russia, I guess. And I feel even less of that today. Like I can't believe what's happening. It's awful. I mean, I it's just every new piece of news is awful to me. I have family. There's a lot of ties between Ukraine and Russia, and I have kind of extended family who has, you know, has friends and family in Ukraine. It's just horrifying. I don't know what else to say.
Olga Kazan usually writes about science and health in The Atlantic. Her latest article is called "Why People Are Acting So Weird." And her book, now out in paperback, is called Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World. Thanks very much for leading a really interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.